How many people ever heard, raise your hand if you heard about Calvinism? Amen? Many of you have. Calvinism is a teaching that's out there that was started with John Calvin, and it is not good. Okay, just want you to know, it is not good. I'm just going to give this to you briefly, but there's the 5 points of Calvinism, okay, 5 points, and you can find those points by the word tulip, T-U-L-I-P, tulip, all right? Now I'm going to give you quickly, the message isn't about that, the message is about something in that, but the word tulip, the first word is T, and that is total depravity of man. This is what they teach, that man is totally depraved, and because of that, can never ever choose God. They believe that man is totally depraved and can never do the right thing. Think about that. They think you can never make a choice. You could never choose God. I had a conversation with a Calvinist many times, but one is I said, so you believe that you cannot choose God? And they said, absolutely, you can't because you're totally depraved. And I said, but can you choose evil? Oh, yes. Can I choose ice cream? Yes. And I went through all, you can choose everything in your world. You can choose what college to go to. You can choose what school to go to. You can choose what clothes to wear. You can choose anything, but you can't choose God. I said, doesn't that sound a little foolish that you can't choose God? The second thing is, T is for total depravity of man. The U is for unconditional election. Think about that, unconditional election. That means is they believe that the only people that will ever be saved and go to heaven are the elect of God. That God has elected a certain group and only, and them only, are going to heaven and all the rest are going to hell. Please listen when I say, because it's important. When they say unconditional election, it means no matter what you do, you cannot be saved. No matter what, you are lost forever, going to hell, and God made it that way. That God made people that are elect, and God made people that are just going to go and burn in hell forever. Isn't that horrible? I mean, that's horrible. Think about that. The third thing is T is for total depravity, U is for unconditional election, and L is my worst of all, is called limited atonement. Limited. That means the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate flesh, is only limited. It's not for everybody. When he died on the cross and he shed his blood and put his blood in heaven, that's not for human race. It's not for all the world. It's only for the elect, that blood, and that blood is limited. Just to say that God's blood is limited right there is crazy. Amen? I want you to think about, excuse me, limited atonement. And that blood is only applied to the elect. That's horrible. I mean, just to think that. And the I, T-U-L-I, the I is for irresistible grace. You listen to me? Irresistible grace. That means when God's grace is coming, and it's here, it's irresistible. You cannot help yourself. You will get saved. God will literally, and this is what it means, put you in a headlock and force you to get saved. It's irresistible. You can't resist it. And the very P, the last one, is the perseverance of the saints. Now, I could handle the perseverance of the saints being persevering, but they believe that you must persevere or you aren't elect. It's just weird how they believe that. But anyway, the reason it's the 5 points of Calvinism, and I just want to talk to you about one, you know, we'll throw a couple in there, but just for tonight, I want to talk to you about choice, that you're so depraved that you can't choose God. You can't choose God no matter what happens. You can bring people in here. They could have the Holy Spirit of God could be on them. But they say the Holy Spirit is irresistible, but only for the elect. It's just weird how they said it. So let's just look at a couple things. We'll just talk just briefly. But who's the first person in the Bible you can think of that had a choice whether or not to choose God? Anybody? Shout it out if you can think of the first person in the Bible. Brian. No, close. Close. No, close. That is not, I mean, we can think about that Adam and Eve, but I mean in Scripture, the person that God, we can go right to this verse and show you that the first person that God had a choice to choose God, to choose what was right. Who? No, it's Cain. Let's look with me. Since you did Genesis chapter 4. See, little verses like this, just to me, they blow their teaching out of the water because it's foolish. And the man Calvin himself was a very wicked man, meaning, I don't mean lived wickedly because I don't know, but what I do know is that he murdered many people. John Calvin was very popular and very powerful, and if you didn't believe what he believed, that you believed what he told you to believe, he killed a lot of people. murdered them. So, I mean, that'll just show you who it is. Jesus doesn't murder people. He saves people. Amen. Muhammad murders people, and Calvin murders people, and the Pope murders people. Jesus doesn't murder people. Amen. So look at me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 4. Are you there? I want you to look at this, what happens. And here we start out in verse 5. It says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. It means he was really angry, and his countenance, he had a sour puss on his face. He was mad. Amen. And look what it says in verse 6. This to me is so kind of God. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? Think about this. God went to him and spoke to him. God didn't send a preacher. God didn't send a message in a bottle. God literally went to him and spoke to him. And look what God said. He said this, the Lord said unto Cain, verse 6, why art thou wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? Look, he said, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God is telling him right there that if you do what you're supposed to do, I will accept you. And that's the very first in Scripture that God visits him, comes to him, and says, make a choice. You have a choice. And I want this to realize that all of us live in a choice-filled life. We make choices. Amen? You know how people talk about addiction? I don't like it when, and they're taught this in AA and NA, that what they have is a disease. It's a disease, and I have, and because personally, in our family, we have people that say it's a disease and I can't, and that's not true. You know why? Because there's a cure for that disease. Go to jail and that disease goes away. You know what I'm saying? It's like, my point is that God gives Cain a choice. And here he said, if you do what's right, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? He said, but if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. So, and we know that Cain, God literally went to him personally and gave him a choice. But Cain did not choose God. He did not choose God. And what happened was he became the first murderer. And we know that he was marked, and we know that he's in hell today. But he didn't have to be in hell, did he? I mean, right there in Scripture, God went to him and said, if you just do what I'm telling you to do, if you do what's right, and it, just for the case, in case you don't know, what the right thing was to do is to offer the sacrifice of the lamb. That was, offer the sacrifice to me. I give you the lamb. Your brother has a lamb right there. Just offer it to me and everything will be fine. And he refused to offer that. But I just want you to think about that was the first one. You know who else had the choice in the Bible? Was the people of Noah's day. When Noah was 120 years preparing the ark, he was preaching, righteous and preaching, and they had a choice. They could have came in the ark with him. No one was stopping him. Do you understand that? Nobody was stopping them, yet they chose to be in the world rather than get in the ark. They had a choice, and that's in Genesis 6. And then you know what? There's another one, and I'm not saying this is all of them, but you know who else had a choice? Lot's wife. Remember Lot? Remember Lot? Lot had a choice. The angels came to him and said, let's go. And Lot could have said, well, he kind of said, no, not at first, but he said, wait, I have family. And he went to his family, but his family had a choice and they laughed at him and didn't go. And all he had was his two daughters that were with him in the house. And they kind of had no choice because they were under his roof and he made them go. But his wife, being an adult and everything else, she had a choice. And he told them what the angel said to him, said, whatever you do, don't look back. And guess what she did? She looked back. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 19. And we could see that little bit of what's happening there. In Genesis 19, verse 26. And from there, we're going to go to Luke 17. But in Genesis 19, are you all there? Look, it says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And that's an amazing thing. And we say, like, what? Did that really happen? Yes, it really happened. Because God warned him and said, don't you have a choice? What if she didn't look back? What would have happened? I'll tell you, a whole lot different this world would have been, well, at least the world for Israel, because of her choice, her two daughters, ended up doing some horrible, horrible stuff with their father and ended up making a whole nation of people called the Moabites. And those Moabites were from incest, and those Moabites were evil, and those Moabites were in fighting Israel all the time. So, I mean, your choices have consequences. They really do. And more importantly, if you're a mother or if you're a father, be very careful what choices you make, because it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. So you might say, I don't want to do that, but for my children's sake, you know what I mean? Like, for their sake, you know what I'm saying? So just be careful, watch your choices. Look in Luke, look in the book of Luke chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. Luke 17. Luke 17, look in verse 32 with me. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus said three words. You ready? Remember Lot's wife. Who knows what the shortest verse in all the Bible is? I know a couple of you do. What is it, Raven? Jesus wept. Two words. Here's three. Here's three words. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus spoke to us. He told us, what to me, that confirms the Old Testament. It confirms that she turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus can't lie. Jesus would never lie. And he told us, he said, remember Lot's wife. And he says to Raven in verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And he goes on and says, I tell you that in the night thereof, talking about the rapture of the church. But she had a choice, and she made the wrong choice. Esau had a choice, too. Remember Esau and Jacob? Remember them? Remember Esau had a choice? He had the blessings. He had the promises. He had everything going for him, but he didn't really care about it that much. And what happened was, is when he came to a time in his life where it was very hard on him, try to make it sound good like it was hard on him, but he was out hunting, hog hunting. And it was hot, and he was tired, and he was sweating, and he had no water, and he had no food, and he felt like he was going to faint, okay? He comes walking in, and there's his brother making a nice pot of chili. Amen, Tony? The kids all ate your chili today. I just want to let you know. That was some good stuff. Amen? And so, nice pot of it's kind of like Millie having her pineapple upside down cake there, and the smell is just coming up, and he couldn't tempt it, but he had a choice. And what he said, give me some, and he gave him a choice. He said, sell me your birthright. And what he did, he said, okay. And because he did that, I'm not speaking for God, I'm just telling what God said. God said he hated him. God said because of him giving up all the blessings of God, he just gave it up, didn't even care about it. God said that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Could you imagine God hating you? I can't even imagine that, Millie. God, hey, I hate you. I was like, what? I would do whatever I could to try to get back under God's good graces. You know what I mean? The Bible says that Esau did that. That it says that he tried and tried and tried to find a place of repentance, but he couldn't do it because there was bitterness in his heart. You know, we choose to not forgive. We choose. You have a power and an authority that God given, that you have a power in you to forgive others. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. You can. And what happens is he never forgave his brother, even though he's the one that sold out. But he never forgave his brother. And what happens when you don't forgive, it turns to bitterness. And when it gets bitterness, that's a scary place to be, because God says a root of bitterness will spring up. It'll trouble you. You'll never be able to truly repent. Never be able to truly, truly repent. So you have a choice by these things is forgive. Amen. Jesus told us, he said, forgive, so you will be forgiven too. He tells us to forgive. So anyone that you might have hurt you, anyone who might, I don't care what it is, who it is, how bad it is, please forgive. Because I don't want to get to the point where you're like Cain, or get to the point where you're like Esau, or God forbid, you like Miss Lot. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know who else had a choice? Pharaoh had a choice. Now, Pharaoh is a unique individual, because Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He would not let the people go. And God said, okay, you want to harden your heart? Bam, now I'm going to harden your heart. And so therefore, he had a choice though in the beginning. And what happens is, as you harden your heart, after a while, God just might say, okay, live with that hardened heart. God just might say to you, you've made your bed, now lie in it. So, but we all have a choice. And Jesus, being so merciful and so good and so kind, you know what's a good word in the Bible? It says God is long-suffering. I'm so glad God's long-suffering. Amen. I'll tell you what, if I was God, I would have smacked me back in time or something. I've messed up so many times and God's always gracious and merciful and long-suffering. Amen. We ought to say thank you, Jesus, just for that. And what he does is he allows us to come on a Sunday night and maybe hear a little word, just one little word to just say, you know what? I need to forgive that person. You know what? I need to repent, or I need to get right with God, or whatever it is. But Pharaoh, after a while, when Moses came and he said, let my people go, he said, no, 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 no. Then God said, okay, boom, I'll harden your heart and then you'll not be able to. But you know who else had a choice? And I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking millions of people, the children of Israel. They had so many choices. You know, you've heard about God's elect, right? Well, Israel's called the elect of God. Do you remember that I said about Tulip that they said that the unconditional election, you mean that when you are elected by God, it's unconditional. You can't help but get saved. You can't go to hell. You can't only go to heaven no matter who you are, no matter what you want. God's going to make you get saved. Do you understand that? Well, Israel's called God's elect. And I want you to see something with me. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 32. I find this very interesting. This helps me. You ever get a verse that just kind of helps you? And when I say helps you, it helps me to understand things. Amen. I personally like to understand. Amen. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and you're all there? Something that helps me understand. We're going to go to Numbers, but Exodus chapter 32. Look in verse 10 with me, please. Verse 10. It is Jesus, but God is speaking to Moses. The people of Israel have made in verse 8. They made a golden calf. Moses is up on the mount, receiving the word of God, the commandments. They think that, well, he's not coming back. Let us make a golden calf. You all heard that story, right? You watch, maybe you watched the Ten Commandments and saw it. Amen. But what happens is it really made God angry. Can I get an amen? Well, what happened was in verse 9, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is stiff-necked people. And look, pay close attention to verse 10. And now God's talking to Moses. And now, therefore, let me alone. Moses, leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them and make of thee a great nation. You see, God was willing to wipe out every single one of them, kill them all, and start all over with Moses. See, that helps me understand, because you'll hear people say, well, you're the elect. You're the elect. You know what I mean? And that kind of like, that's right, I'm the elect. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is you're only elect in Christ. When you received Christ and got into Christ, it was like you were before the foundation of the earth. And when you received Christ, it was like you were already seated in heavenly place in Christ. And my point to all that is, it's not like Michael Wilps or Terry Hoyt or Anton Weinland. You know what I mean? Your name. No, it's just God said in the beginning, I'm going to have a people. Just like he said to Israel, I'm going to have a people. And this whole 2 million people, God was fed up to hear. And he said, leave me alone, Moses. I'm going to kill them all. And I'll start all over with you. I want you to realize that. And because some people think that they're more important than they really are. And I want you to realize that the fear of the Lord is a very healthy, good thing. God can do whatever he wants to do. You know that, don't you? Right? He can't lie, though. He's given you his word and his promise. That's a great thing for that. But look, turn with me, if you would, to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. From there, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 9. But in Numbers 14, Amen. Look in verse 12 with me, please. God is saying kind of the same thing. He's saying to Moses, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. What? Disinherit them? He says, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. You see what God's saying? He's saying to Moses, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to wipe them out. They're driving me nuts. They're stiff-necked. They're hard-hearted. They don't listen to anything I say. Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to wipe them all out, and I'm going to start over with you. I'm going to make them, you, the nation even better than before. So I just want you to see that, because every single person in there had a choice. You know what Joshua said? In Joshua, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But know what he said? And if you really looked at it, it's in Joshua 24, verse 10. He says this. He says, you cannot serve the Lord. Like, what do you mean I can't serve him? He says, because God's a jealous God. He's not going to put up with your nonsense. I'm talking in Joshua. He said, he's not going to put up with you. You can't handle it. And know what they said? We can handle it. We'll follow God. We'll serve God. He says, well, you better choose this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. It's a choice. God always gives you a choice. And that's the thing is, I want you to understand your whole life is a life of choices. You choose to come on Sunday night. Thank you. Hats off to you. Good job. Amen. You made me happy. I think you made God happy too. And I know that you made each other happy too. It's nice seeing you here. But you make choices each day. You choose whether to read your Bible or not, right? No one forces you. You choose whether to have a prayer time with the Lord. What gets me is I think prayer is so important that people kind of don't think it's that important. You know what? You know why prayer is so important? And I'm not talking about to get things that you're asking for. Forget that. Because you're spending time alone with the Lord. And Jesus, he said in John and in Matthew 7, he said, there's going to be many that say to me, Lord, Lord, but I'm going to say, I never knew you. And he could never say that if you spend time with him. The chance that God is giving us a choice to whether or not to spend quality time with him. Not throw up a prayer before you're going to work, all Hail Mary, you know what I mean? Like, okay, God bless the food, thank you very much. That isn't a personal, God's allowing us to have quality personal time with him. And I'll tell you right now, people take it, I can pray anytime I want. I'll tell you right now, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might be gone. You never know. But God's giving you today. He's giving you a choice today that you can go home after church and you can spend a little time with God. Amen. I'm not saying go in your prayer closet and spend 3 days. I'm not saying fast for 40 days. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying spend some quality time with God. Amen. It's so important. It's so important. And especially, that's how you build that, establish that relationship with him in your alone time. You know what I mean? When our daughter was a man wanted to date her, and we wouldn't let them ever go out on a date together. They had to just go out with groups of people from the church. If they were going bowling, he could go along with them, but they're with like 10 other people, you know what I mean, in a group. Well, you don't get to intimately know someone in a group. You get to intimately know someone when it's just you two alone. And that's what God doesn't want us to just know him in this group. He doesn't want us to just know him in church or, you know what I mean? He wants an intimate relationship, one-on-one, quality time with God. And he's always he's always available and he's always welcome. So I just want you to realize you have that choice to do that. But look in Deuteronomy chapter, did I finish that verse in Numbers 14:12? Did I finish it? Yeah, I did. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 9, please. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Look in verse 14. It says, God saying the same thing, Moses, let me alone, that I may destroy them. And look what he says. And blot out their name from under heaven. Wow. As if they'd never even existed. Cheryl, did you ever see that before? Blot out their name. You heard of the book of life, right? The Bible says one time in the book of Revelation that he would not blot out your name. Nobody really understands that. I don't. No scholar will ever touch it. If you ever read, there's so many like things in the Bible I want to know about. Like, what does so-and-so think about that? They don't even touch it, Anton. It's like they'll go to they don't even bring it up because nobody really knows what it's talking about. And all I know is that God says, I'll blot them out of the book of life like they never existed. Think God can do that? Yeah, he can. But when I say like, it says, let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. And I just want to realize that all of Israel had a choice. You know what they did? You know what they did? They repented. They came to God and they said, I'm sorry. They said, please forgive us. You know what God did? He forgave them and gave him another chance and gave him another chance and gave him another chance. God's awesome. God's awesome. He just wants us to realize some things that he gives us a choice each day. Each moment your heart's beating, each time you're alive, you have a choice to talk to him in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. You have a choice to come to church. You have a choice to do whatever it is that you know is the right thing, or that whatever it is God says. You have a choice. No one's forcing you. God doesn't want to force you. Do you understand? What good is it forcing someone? And we know what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. He always puts it on love, because for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. God shows us his love all the time, doesn't he, Tony? He doesn't, he, Joe? You sat there and praised God about, thank you that he saved an old wretch like me. Thank you that he died on that cross on Calvary. Thank you that Jesus would even know my name. No one else knows me. No one else cares. He cares. You're like, wow, that he really loves me. You know, and he wants you to understand. It says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And he wants us to realize it has nothing to do with you. It all has to do with him, and that he is love. He loves you in an everlasting love. He's awesome. He's amazing. There's no words on earth that you could ever think of that would even touch the hem of his garment and how good he is. And he's welcoming you to come on unto him. And it's your choice. He doesn't make you do it. Amen. Look at me, if you would, in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, because what happens is they say irresistible grace, that you cannot resist it when the grace of God. Has anybody ever been under conviction of the Holy Ghost? That's the power of God, right, in your life. Have you ever denied God of that? Have you ever said no? Have you ever not done what the Holy Spirit was? Yeah, of course you have. I have all the time. And then I'm like, I'll be honest. Then I pray and I say, thank you, God, for convicting me. Could you please convict me more? I say, can you convict me louder? I need it. You know what I mean? I don't need a this. I need a this. I need that. I need bells going off in my head. You know, like, don't do that. You know, I need it. Look in Acts chapter 7 with me. Look in verse 51. Acts 7:51 says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised heart and ears, you do always resist who? The Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. See, he's telling you in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, he's telling you that the Jewish people always resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist the Holy Ghost. They teach it's irresistible. If the Spirit of God comes on you, put you in your headlock, Anton, and you have to do it. And that's not true. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it's a choice. And God wants you to trust him so much that whenever the leading of the Holy Spirit, you just say, yes, Lord, because I trust you. I've learned that you never let me down. I've learned, you know, through age and through years and trial and error and through mistakes and finding out my life, you know, is empty without you. And I thought that this would make me happy. Then I found out it didn't. Whatever it takes, you get to that point. You find out, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And you start to do that. Look with me if you would in the book of James. James chapter 4. Let me know when you're in James 4. Look in verse 7. James 4:7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Stop. Is that a submitting to somebody? Isn't that a willful act? You don't submit to somebody. And the only submitting I know that is a willful act is in wrestling, when they put you in that thing and you're like, tap out. Okay, I'm done. But you don't have to tap out. You can pass out. They can knock you out. You know what I mean? You can die out. But you don't have to tap out. But that, besides that, this is where it's telling you, on your own free will, submit to God. And look what he says. It goes better. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. What's he say to do? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That tells us that we have a choice to resist him. You ever been under temptation so great, and you failed, and you failed, and you failed? Oh, yeah. But the truth of the matter is you can resist it. You have the ability to do it. You have the ability to forgive. You might think it's hard, and it is. I'm not saying it's not. Some things are harder than others. Amen? And one of the things that's your benefit, my benefit, his benefit, is for you to forgive. If I've done anything to you, please forgive me. Please. And I promise I'll forgive you. Amen. But forgive the people that have hurt you the most. Just forgive. Get it out. Just forgive. You say, I don't know how. I'll give you a, you know what? Just hear yourself say it. Say, I forgive them. That's how it happened to me. Before I got saved, I had someone I had to forgive that didn't want to forgive. I wanted the person dead. I mean, literally, I wanted to be the one to kill them. And I'm serious. And I don't want to get into detail, but when my dad, when I went to California, he said, you got to forgive him. At first, I'm like, yeah, right. That's no way. First of all, I don't want to. But then as I thought about it, I don't know if it's a spirit or not, but Ken is like, yeah, I got to forgive. And I just said, I forgive him. Didn't mean, I don't know if it really meant it, but I said it, and that helped me, the dominoes to start falling. And it helped me to get to the place where I actually did forgive. And I believe with all my heart I'd never be where I'm at right now if I didn't forgive that person 35 years ago or whatever it was. Amen? I want you to look with me if it says where it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. It's a choice. That's in verse 8. But in verse 7 it says, submit to God. That's a choice. Amen? Look with me, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm almost done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me know when you're there. Say amen. Look in verse 10. This is a very powerful verse. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And it tells you why. Because they received not the love of the truth. Look what it says. That they might be saved. See, this is people that God's going to, they're going to hell. But they didn't have to. That they might be saved. They wouldn't believe the love of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they will just stop and turn to him and ask him. He would save them. But they wouldn't believe, Tam. They refuse. No. And God said they could have been saved. But they wouldn't. See, it's a choice. It's a choice. Look in 2 Peter. This is another great verse, 2 Peter. You all there, 2 Peter? Look at me in chapter 3, and we know this verse. It's verse 9. I want you to know it, be familiar with it. 2 Peter 3, 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. There's that word, long-suffering. Thank you, Jesus, that you're long-suffering to us. Look, it says, not willing that what? Any should perish. But that who? All should come to repentance. See, when you do meet a Calvinist, you can realize that their whole tulip, their whole total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance, it's all phony. And none of it is biblical. None of it. Do you hear me? None of it's biblical. And yet there's so many Calvinists out there. You know why? Because they don't even know. Like the Presbyterian Church, I didn't know this is mostly Calvinist. I didn't know that. And other churches, they don't even know the people in the church. Anton don't even know what Calvin teaches. They just, that's what they do. You know what I mean? And it's, it, but once you get to know the Bible, you know what's true and what's false. Amen? And I just want you to realize that you have a choice. And I have some other verses, but I'm going to stop there. Let's just finish with this, if you don't mind. John chapter 14, a verse I already quoted, but it's worth saying it again. We have choices every day. You can choose to not go to work tomorrow, or you can choose to go to work tomorrow. But and there's consequences to our choices, isn't there? Why do people think there's not consequences to your growth? See, I was going to teach a message on prospering, how to prosper. And I was getting the verses, and I'm putting them together. But just something there, just it kind of like just stopped. It was almost like no more. And then he brought me to this. But I want people to prosper. God wants you to prosper. It's only in the Bible one time in 2 John where it says that I want you to prosper as your soul prospers and be in good health. Amen? That's a great verse. Be in good health and your soul would prosper. You know, he's not talking about your bank account prospering. He's talking about your soul prospering. And the truth of the matter is everybody, one of us, we all want money. Who doesn't? Amen? Who doesn't? Right? But that's not going to make you happy, and that's not going to, you know what I mean? It's like, I know I'd like to say, well, I'd like to try, check it out, you know? But the truth of the matter is God wants your soul to prosper. Amen. And he wants you to be filled with everything you could ever want, everything you, the desires of your heart. And he, but he wants you to grow. Amen. Isn't that what spiritual growth is? Prospering. And I'd love for me, for you, for all of us to prosper this year in winning souls. In getting to tell people about Jesus and they believe you and they pray with you. Or maybe they come into church and they come to aisle and they pray and they get their names written in Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, is there anything better than that? To know what some, and watch their lives change, watch them get baptized and start coming to church. Nothing greater in the world than that. But anyway, that said, let's finish with this. In John chapter 14. Give me a second, I wasn't there. John chapter 14, look in verse 15 with me. Jesus is speaking. He said, if you love me. It's a choice. He says, keep my commandments. And that's one of them verses you easy to remember. But it's if. That's what God does, Brian. God doesn't make you do anything. He says, if you will, I promise I will. Now, we might falter and fail, but he never falters and fails. And that's what faith is. Faith is, I believe God more than I believe my feelings, or I believe God more than what I think. Amen? And we gotta just be real. Our thoughts are messed up sometimes. You know, our choices, we can look back in our lives and say, I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? If I didn't do that, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot, isn't there, Millie? Like in our lives, we can look back. But God isn't looking back. He's looking ahead. And he's looking for right now. And he's giving you another chance to do what's right. Let me just give you three things real quick. You ready? The first thing that God wants you to do is praise him. Why? Because praising him out loud glorifies Jesus Christ. And two, the second thing, he wants you to be thankful. A grateful heart is a happy heart. He wants you to be happy. I want you to be happy. And in all reality, you want to be happy, don't you? Come on. Don't you? Well, the only way you can really be happy is to have the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? And you know what that means? That means praise him, because God inhabits the praise of his people. Praise him. Give glory to God. And God strengthens you. And you get an overabundance of joy. Amen. And when you get an overabundance of joy, oh, that wasn't good. There you go. You got a little ring. You got a little pepper in your stepper. Amen. You got a little song in your heart. You're happier. You're better off than you were before. Other people will see it and say, what's happened to you? I want what you got. And that's how it happens. But the third thing is the first thing is just praise him. The second thing is to be thankful. And the third thing is to trust him with everything in your heart. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep his commandments. You don't have to keep them. You don't have to keep the commandments of God. But just do what you think is right in your heart. Amen? And let the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Anybody got any questions on anything about anything that before we finish? Anybody got a question about the Bible or anything we talked about? Forever hold your peace, if not. Amen. Y'all good? Amen. Hey, Brother Ken. Ken, can you close us in prayer? I just miss your voice.